Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. She is the founder and principal designer of her own full-service design and online interior design firm, with offices in New York City and Montclair, New Jersey. The firm's full-service approach enables them to manage and execute design projects from the initial concept through to the finishing touches. The company's online interior design option gives clients the benefit of a full design team via online communication. As a design firm dedicated to living purposefully and with authenticity, they support charitable organizations like Charity Water and the Junior League, both of which empower women. Turns out she's very busy making the world more beautiful. Sandra Funk, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you, James. Thrilled to be here.
It's good to have you with us today, Sandra. So take us back and talk to us about Sandra first falling in love with design.
Oh, goodness. Well, it wasn't my intention. My degree is in finance, and I was doing business process consulting and traveling around, working in the world of small business and big business and consulting. And I kept stopping in the airport, Hudson Booksellers, and picking up Arc Digest, Elle Decor, and I just couldn't seem to sit my butt down and read, you know, Tech Today or whatever it was I thought I was supposed to be reading. And I think it just harkened back for me to my father was trained as an engineer, but was a small business owner by what he actually did. And so he just was always tinkering. So the old joke is if you could draw it or explain it or describe it, he could build it. And that's how I grew up. I grew up, we just were always tinkering. We were always redoing something. He would buy boats and strip out the inside and redo them. And we would all have paper and, you know, we'd have graph paper and pencil in front of us and would be dreaming. And that was just totally natural and normal for me. So eventually, bored out of my skull doing business process, I found my way to interior design and haven't looked back since.
Wow. So a real second career for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the first one wasn't very lengthy, but I was bored quickly. But yes. So then I found my way off to interior design and kind of, you know, had to take a abrupt right turn. Kind of fought my way into the industry slowly but surely, and then really went out on my own when I had children. It seemed like the natural way to have that flexibility. So now as they're getting older and we have gotten busier and busier, so it's great.
It's a perfect timing then, right?
Timing has worked out very well, yeah.
The universe knows what it's doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what was it like? I mean, making that transition, that can be pretty intimidating for people.
Oh, it was extreme. I was doing website consulting. So I had started taking classes in the evenings at Parsons in New York because at the time there wasn't a web track. There wasn't a web design track. It was pre-dot-com crash, you know, just when everything was on the up, up, up. So all the savvy designers were taking design classes. I'm sorry, all the savvy web designers were finding design classes in other mediums to kind of have it apply. And I got laid off in the dot-com crash, and you've never seen a person with a bigger smile on their face as they walked out with their box of goods and grabbed a taxi home. But I don't think I would have ever actually followed my passion into design had I not gotten that swift kick in the booty. Because I think it'll be, you know, the joke was always, oh, 10 years later, I'm finally making what I made in business process with a finance degree in design. Because, you know, it starts as an intense labor of love, not a following the money passion. But
sure.
You know, now that we've built the business and things are great, so. But it definitely, it was that kick I needed to go and take that risk. It's great.
Well, and given your background, you probably, I mean, once the dust settled, you probably had a fair sense of how to run a business, right?
Absolutely. The combination of a finance degree and very entrepreneurial background with my family and, you know, I was interned at my father's company and whatnot, just gave me the sense of, yeah, I can do this, not a problem. Where I think a lot of people, that's a very, a big place of hesitation and or maybe not even realizing how much, how big of a piece of it that is, running the business side.
It's a huge part of the industry, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, so if you think about it, what's the time split like for you between managing and designing? How does that pan out in your world?
My dream and what I attempt is 50-50. But it ebbs and flows to times when it's almost all running the business and other times when it's, you know, completely down the rabbit hole of design. So it's definitely a nice balance, and I luckily love both sides of it. So I really get a lot of joy out of the whole setup.
Well, it sounds like it's working pretty well, so I wouldn't change anything if I were you.
Exactly. We just keep improving.
Keep improving. There you go. Well, so talk to us about the work that you've got going on right now. What projects are you working on? What's got your attention? What's got you excited?
Sure. We are just in the final touches of a big, beautiful old Tudor home in the Montclair, New Jersey area. And we gut renovated kitchen, mudroom, laundry room, master suite, and a sunroom that is just stunning. So we're down to the final touches art and one window treatment install that's lagging behind. But it's really incredible to do a 1920s, real old, authentic, beautiful home and to bring the details through and to really touch into the soul of the client and the soul of the home and pull that all together. We did sort of a goth vintage style, which definitely takes into account the Tudor architecture, but also just a lot of personality. And the clients were so amazing to be willing to go all the way down the rabbit hole with details. And it just, I can't wait to share how that all turns out.
And we can't wait to see it. Will we see images on the website or on other social media platforms? Where can we look for that?
Well, we are probably photographing in about a month or two, and then we'll start pitching it around. So hopefully you'll see it on something. We've been doing well with getting it out on social media and kind of self-produced a lot of feature articles at this time because I spent too long having great photography tied up on an editor's desk that I'm just pushing it out on my own these days, which seems to be working quite nicely.
You know, it's the beauty of social media. It allows us that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Options.
Good for you. Yeah. Well, then we will be sure. I mean, we do regularly, but we'll make certain that we post links to your website and any other social media outlets that you'd like in the show notes section of today's interview so people can click on that and follow the world of Sandra Funk and all the beautiful things that you guys are creating over there.
Excellent. Thank you.
So, Sandra, when you think about the business that you've built, the work that you do every day, what is it about what you get to do right now that has you the most happy? What do you love about your work?
I think the very best part of the work is really that initial time when you're in the concept phase for me. It's the you kind of have all the constraints and all the information from your clients, from the architecture of the home, and you're this, you know, the world is your oyster. It's the dreaming phase, the sky's the limits, the staying up all night, can't get, you know, once the ideas start flowing, my creative streak happens at about 11 p.m. So this all happens to me all the time where I'm kind of, you know, thinking about it, I let it marinate is always like something I like to take in all the constraints and all the information and then really like sit with it. And it'll hit me, of course, on some random Tuesday when I have an 8 o'clock meeting on Wednesday morning. But then, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, I have got to go to bed, but I'm pinning and I'm shopping and looking and it's finally all sketching and it's all coming together. So that to me is just magic when it all is coming together in my mind and then getting it out on to paper and getting the team behind the vision and then executing it, you know, that's layer two. But that first brush of excitement and finally catching that vision is what really makes me come back to it over and over again.
It's a rush that is rather addictive, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah. Second to, of course, install day when it all works. Now, install day when it doesn't all work, you know, you have to, those are different kind of days, but
I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean. Well, so, okay, so let's run with this. Talk to us about those days, because honestly, they happen, right? When all the best plans in the world, something goes sideways. And then what do you do? What do you do, Sandra?
Absolutely. We have knock on everything. We have never run into an issue that we couldn't solve yet. Nine times out of 10, it's the thing won't fit in the room or around this one sharp corner down the hallway that no one thought would be that difficult when it all came down to it. But we have these, of course, amazing craftspeople that we rely on and decorative painters that can fix the weirdest scratch in the oddest place, or, you know, wonderful, wonderful upholstery people who can take apart anything and put it back together like you would never know it even happened. There's always, if there's a will, there's a way, and there's always a way. So those are just different days than when it just goes slam dunk, you know. But we always prepare for the issues. We always have our toolkits on site. We have our people on call. They know that we're doing an install that day. We have great installers who help with a million little odds and ends. And we prepare for deficiencies, and we hope for the best. But we, you know, just work it out.
That's the best way to approach it. I mean, I've heard it said that design is just solving people's problems.
Oh, yeah.
And that carries into that whole installation phase. I love what you said, though, and I want to just point it out and maybe explore it a little bit more. You talked so, respectfully about the people that you have surrounded yourself with, your craftsmen, your artisans. It really does take a village, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. This is not a one-woman show. There's no part of it that could be. It's funny, we're on our third year of having an annual Attitude is Gratitude party, where mm-hmm. we invite all of our vendors, all of our clients, the architects and builders and suppliers, down to the fabric reps, everyone that we work with, it was at my office one year, at my house a couple times, all to one big party, because my feeling is that it is this community that we've built. I love putting the brand new clients who've never done a big gut renovation before in the same room with a client who we've done three big renovations with and have them chat. I love to say, you know, to a client that we have this annual party and that we are all standing in the room every year, once a year, having this conversation, that it's a family, that this is, you know, you're going to be upset with a contractor, maybe on demo day you're feeling really stressed, but this is all going to work out. We all get dressed up and go to this party once a year. You're going to see them all the time. You know, it isn't just one interaction and gone. It's really a community. And so that's really important to me, that we build that and that we have respectful relationships and long-term relationships.
What a wonderful tool that you've created to nurture those relationships.
Yeah. It's great.
Good for you. Good for you. So, Sandra, talk to our listeners at home for a moment. You have their ear. They're at home working hard to create beauty in their own homes. And they always like to hear tips and ideas from our guests on how they can do just that, add more beauty into their living environment. What would your message be to them today?
Absolutely. I think for me, the first and foremost place to start is to declutter. And as one of our favorite decluttering ladies, Marie Kondo, always says, only keep what brings you joy. I think her message is so, you know, she's extreme. The way that she wants you to get rid of everything that doesn't bring you joy, but it is an amazing breath of fresh air to really feel like you're only surrounded with the really important, special things. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest point is to then add very carefully to that, once you've pared back, to not add to it lightly. I find a lot of times we do a lot of renovations and interior design work for young families just kind of coming out of the cloud of babies. You know, they feel like they can finally put something nice in their home that's not going to get ruined by having very, very young children and what have you. And so we have a lot of that that age group in our client mix. And a lot of times they say, I couldn't even see the forest or the trees. I had these young babies, and I just needed a place to sit and a table to have breakfast, etc. So they're really looking at this conscientiously for the first time. And so that's when we're really trying to talk about, okay, you were in that haze of babydom. A lot of our clients moved out of the city with the second baby on the way, and just put something together to function. So we're coming in and doing it with intention. And it's amazing. And I think that's important to buy the best quality you can afford, knowing that it's going to last you a very, very long time. Another great place to invest when they are still in maybe young children phase is lighting. It is a wonderful place to put some value, because I think you get a lot of bang for your buck. It also will not wear out over time. It's not going to get scratched or beaten up on. So when we do have someone who's who has that young family still, we'll put a lot of effort and oomph into our lighting fixtures. It helps a lot. Mm-hmm. Make a room.
Some wise words there, Sandra.
Lots to take in.
Wise words. Thank you for sharing those. Let's turn this around and think and talk about the place you call home for a moment. Do you have a favorite space in your house? And if so, tell us why.
Sure. My favorite room is the living room in our house. It's a couple steps down, kind of big sunken. We also have a 1920s Tudor, and it's got a big stone fireplace and just oversized furniture. And I think it's my favorite room because it's where most of my memories are. When the family's all in town, people are sitting on the carpets and all over the furniture, and everyone is sort of hanging out, and it's just a great vibe. And it's a space you kind of create that environment, and people, it's very relaxed but very elegant, and I think that makes me so happy when I see people sharing the ottoman or sitting on the floor or draped on the, you know, edge of the sofa. It just makes me very happy to see everyone comfortable.
So it's clearly not a room that's roped off and only for looks.
Oh, no. No, I believe houses are to be lived in. And if there's a room that you're not using, you should think about another way to use it. 100%.
I like the sound of that. Oh. I very much like the sound of that. So what would our listeners be surprised to find in your home?
Well, it goes hand in hand. I have a 14-foot shuffleboard table in my living room, which helps it become a room where even when we don't have company, we will go in with our children and play a game of shuffleboard. So it's, and we've been playing with that with clients for a long time as well. If they really never use the dining room, right, Talk to them about, well, is it a billiard room then? Or is it a bar? Is it a wine tasting room? You know, let's really use this first floor. I'm a big proponent of, let's not necessarily be relegated to the basement for those activities, but bring them in a beautiful way. So it's a beautiful table, you know, custom finished, but it fits in, and it doesn't steal the show, but when you want to use it, right around the back of a great big sofa, there's a 14-foot shuffleboard table. It's quite fun.
Sounds pretty cool to me. I'd probably hang out there and never want to leave.
It's good.
Nice. Well, let's now shift to thinking about designer style heroes of yours. If you had the opportunity to hang out for an hour or so with someone who has really impacted the aesthetics of your career, they might be living, they might be deceased. Tell us who you would pick and why.
Sure. I think for me, my big inspirations are really Bobby McAlpine, the architect, and Clodagh. And I find a lot, I love the living, you know, that to go and see them speak or see their current works and follow them real time is very, very inspiring for me. I find Bobby McAlpine's architecture and just the tone of his homes are so soulful and so comfortable. They're both very, very elegant and look like you could completely put your feet up at any time. And with Clodagh, I am just completely blown away by how she brings East and West together, and it's all about elements. She's very into sensual living and all the senses, really, truly taste and feel and touch. And anytime I've heard her speak or have read anything she's done, I'm just so touched by how fully she takes interior design to mean really life design, and I find great inspiration from her.
Two very, very powerful names. Yeah, I like both of those. Good choices. Thanks for those picks. Give us the best decorating advice that you've ever come across, Sandra.
So I saw Bunny Williams speak once as well, another favorite, classic. And her advice was, always create conversation groupings. So huge room, but make it into smaller groupings, which is, you know, classic in all of her beautiful designs. And then second to that, always a place to set a drink and a book next to each seat in every room. And we take that to heart quite literally, and there's always a little drinks table or a ledge behind a sofa, and it truly allows you to put a little flower vase, a little accessory. It just changes the dynamic of the space.
It's a small thing, but it's a big thing at the same time, isn't it?
Absolutely. And even when we go into a space where we just bring in that layer, if it's missing, because we'll get hired to do these three rooms, and we'll say, well, let's just walk through and make sure that the other things that you think are done are really functioning for you. And that little layer changes a lot how they use the room.
Isn't that the truth? It really, really does. Good advice. Thanks for sharing that one.
Absolutely.
I'm going to put you on the spot for a moment. Think about design trends. What's a design trend that you're going to be really happy to see go away?
Right. Do it yourself? No, just kidding.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that.
No, I'm from Michigan. And as I was saying earlier, my engineer father who did everything, you know, if you could dream it, he could make it. So I come from the land of DIYers. So I'm completely on board for that. But no, and in our industry, I think there's always this push-pull, right, between doing it professionally and the DIY feeling. But no, I have to laugh. That's a good one. But for me, I think I always want to see design look timeless. Again, maybe it's that Midwestern upbringing, but I can't imagine redecorating a space over and over and over again every 10 years so it doesn't look like a time warp. So my just gut and the way that I feel about things is that it should last you a really long time. So I think timeless pieces are really important, not so much into the trends. And I think the trend away from antiques sort of breaks my heart a little bit. I'd love to see more antiques come back into play.
I could support that one 100%. Mm-hmm. Definitely could. Let's do a hypothetical. Sandra, we pray that this never happens, but if there were a fire at the house, loved ones, animals are all safe, but what's the one object in your home that you would risk the flames to save?
I think typically not very sentimental, but there's a painting that my husband and I picked up in Montmartre. It's of the Sacré-Cœur, and it's just a beautiful black and white kind of with little sepia tones coming through. I think I'd probably grab that on my way out. I don't know that I'd risk the flames, but if I was nearby, for me, it's really that I feel like I was Parisian in another life. It just, that country just speaks to me. I barely speak a word of French when I'm not there, but when I'm there, suddenly I'm telling the taxi driver where we need to be. It just sits right. And that's just a fabulous memory. My husband and I picked out the piece, and I said, he's like a born negotiator. And I was like, I'm going to let you negotiate with this wonderful artist and, you know, on the street cafes. And I was like, I'll get the Bordeaux ordered. I'll be at the cafe. So I sat back at this little street cafe and watched my husband haggle over this piece and brought it home and had it lovingly framed. And yeah, just, it has a memory. It means a lot to me.
Special.
Yeah.
Very, very special.
Absolutely.
So let me put you on the spot again, Sandra. Something tells me you're a book lover. Would I be right in that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It goes around in this industry, doesn't it? Give us a book recommendation, a book that you think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover who's listening.
Design lovers, I have to go back to Bobby McAlpine. His book, The Home Within Us, Romantic Houses, Evocative Rooms, is not only beautiful to flip through, but if you read his text throughout the book, he really speaks to why design is so valuable in our lives and how it can really improve our lives. And I think it's just so well said.
He really does have a beautiful way of communicating the art and the craft of design.
Absolutely.
He does. Good pick. Mm-hmm. We'll post a link to Bobby McAlpine's book in the show notes section so our listeners can click on that, add that to their library if they don't already own it. And something tells me that they will be grateful to you for that recommendation. Thank you, Sandra. Last question, Sandra. We've come down to it. Are you ready for this one?
I'm ready.
We end every show with the same question, so let's paint a picture and then get your thoughts on this. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge that you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
Oh, this is very good. Well, my first gut instinct, which is not, I don't think, where you're trying to go with this, was to immediately start doing online interior design to make more money with my laptop and phone.
I love that answer. That's a very practical answer.
Offering up my services immediately. So hopefully that $1,000 is multiplied, you know, soon thereafter. But no, I heard Oscar de la Renta, and I think article that he wrote at some point, where he was talking about way back in the day in the Dominican Republic when he had his first home there, and it was a lot of beautiful old furnishings, but there were beautiful shapes, but not redone, or he didn't have the whatever it was. It was way back, and he had a bunch of white drapes just or white sheets just draped over everything. And I think you could pull off a really intensely beautiful space that way. I would hit the secondhand shops. I would look for a day bed first for multifunction. I would see if they had white sheets at the secondhand. If not, I'd be heading to IKEA for a lot of white sheets. And I think that and a bunch of simple potted plants from a big box store of some kind, you could really get that breezy, easy feeling and just really go after great shapes. And for me, again, I would great shapes. Eventually, I'd be doing my online design. I'd be hustling, and I'd eventually have the money to reupholster that stuff.
There you go. It's all
long-term
about a plan, right?
Got to have
a
plan.
Sandra Funk, how great it is to get to spend time with you today. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
A pleasure. We want to say thank you to our subscribers who've tuned into the show from home. None of this would mean anything if it weren't for you. So we appreciate your dedication to the show, supporting the show, and telling your friends about the show. That's how we're going to grow. Bounce over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post a link on Sandra's page with that will take you to her website so you can follow all the great things that she's got going on. We'll also post a link to that wonderful Bobby McAlpine book. Bobby's been a guest on the show. He's a favorite of our listeners. And if you don't already own his book, I know that you'll want to add that to your design library. You can do that by clicking on that link also. While you're on our site, click a few buttons. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.